So, you know, as we work our way and dip our toe into what we're on about this evening, I think we'll use sort of trigonometry or the trigger pod or whatever fucking wank name it wants to go by as sort of one of the poles that we'll organize ourselves around.
They're a great example. For those of you who don't know what trigonometry is, they're members of like the intellectual dark web 2.0, basically. They are the second wave of the alternate centrist pod people. And they are pod people. But they have been pushed into all kind of corners. They're at the things like the ARC events, they're at these big debater events. They're being pushed
They're
as
on the
these
fringe of the Tory party. They're talking to reform MPs. You know, you can even see here that, oh, Dan Wootton suspended from GB News giving his real scoop, just like Calvin Robinson gave the real scoop on his GB News cancelling on Lotus Eaters.
Kind
It's
of.
almost like there's a pattern to these
There is,
things.
well, it's all a tendril, as we'll come to show you, of the exact same containment networks. It's all the same people involved, it's all the same money involved, and it's all the same boring interests involved.
But I think before we get into the fact that it's specifically Kissin himself who appears to be the front man for this, I think it's whatever this is, I think he wants it to be recognised as his thing.
Yes.
And we'll maybe understand why he, as an individual, has a very interesting background and probably a very interesting view on the world. But just for the people in chat, I don't like trigonometry. I'm not going to watch it. Would you? You know, we've got 130 or so people in chat at the moment. I'd say that's a nice respective band of people with different opinions from the online right that something like this should technically really be advertised to.
Yeah.
How many of us here are actually going to watch this at all?
Basically, none of us.
Yeah, maybe two or three for the sake of research or hate watching it, and I think that's about
There'll
it.
be.
So why is it popular?
That's the whole point of this is that trigonometry are nominally, the. Well, put it here. Constant Kissinton in trigonometry, the penniless immigrant, I've entitled this because.
Woe is me.
Woe is me. He's somebody who's pushed as a free speech hero, held up as anti-woke, held up as a friend of the common sense centre. And he was often platformed in regard to Ukraine in 2022 and 2023, as well as as something of a Russian dissident in quotes, even
Yes.
though he hasn't really lived much in Russia since his teenage years, as we will come on to. But I don't explain who they are too much. Like I said, they're from the copy and paste machine that like Jordan Peterson's come out of. You know what I mean? The Jordan Peterson, the Brett
I
Weinsteins.
suppose these guys don't even have the academic backing, though, really, in any
Well,
sense.
they have like the weird Joe Rogan thing going on. What they do and what the Trigonometry podcast is they will talk. Well, usually they will just let celebrities and slightly alt media in quotes people, so we'll get on to that extent to people like Bill Maher as well. They let them talk at them and they nod along as they say largely horrible things. Then they challenge people when they go off piste in terms
Yes.
of the regime, as we'll come to. But there will be actually, we don't usually do it very often in this because it can get you flagged, but we do have some clips and there will be some clips coming up of this. But first of all, let's figure out who Constantine Kissin is. Let's have a little bit of his background, because as we'll get to, he's somebody who considers himself an immigrant, as it were. He's got where it actually was there. There we are. But he was born, or at least his father was born. Sorry, he was born. Sorry, Konstantin Vadimich Kissin, 25th of December 1982. He's age 41 in Moscow, Russia. Sova funny, Sova. Former Soviet Union, Soviet former Union, excuse me. Early life and education.
Kissin grew up in Uzbekistan in the former Soviet Union to parents Marina and Vadim, then 18 and 20 years old, respectively. His family is of Jewish and Russian heritage. His experiences in the country inform much of his own political worldview today. At age 11, he moved to the United Kingdom. He attended the Clifton College boarding school and subsequently Edinburgh University, which he left before finishing a degree. I mean, maybe there's a whole explanation there. His experience in Russia informed his worldview, and he stopped thinking at age 12.
Well, we have a picture of somebody here at least, but it keeps going. What is this? This is Newsline, November 21st, 1996, from Radio Free Europe. It's really their reporting out of kind of the former Soviet Union at this point. And it turns out his father, Mr. Vadim Kissin, was a very naughty boy because he was a Yeltsin-era official. He was somebody in the Yeltsin government, which is the most... I forgot to have those on screen. here we go. But yes, the early life. anyway, but yes, Newsline, November 21st, 1996. Vadim Kissin, the first senior government official to fall victim to the crackdown on tax evasion, was dismissed after depositing $300,000 in foreign bank accounts without paying the appropriate taxes in Russia. The AFP reported on 20th November, citing Interfax. Kissin, 34, was deputy minister in charge of CIS affairs until his removal on the 19th November. By the way, that is the weird bullshit Soviet, well, post-Soviet at this point, investment platform in which a whole bunch of money gets washed for all of the Yeltsin-era officials. For those of you who don't remember how bad things were in Yeltsin's Russia, you should probably have a look at that.
Yes.
Because Yeltsin's Russia is possibly one of the most corrupt places that has ever existed on the planet. Outside of Ukraine. He will now be charged with large-scale tax evasion and faces up to 5 years in prison and the confiscation of his assets, according to tax officials. Kissin reportedly opened several accounts in Western European banks between 1992 and 1994. Investigators found 10 bank cards in his or his parents' names issued by foreign banks. And here we have Mr. Konstantin Kissin's version of events, which doesn't seem to, as we'll get into, gel very well with reality. I got to do the voice. Dad was 20 when I was born. At 30, he was a millionaire. In Yeltsin's Russia, a millionaire? Are someone allowed to be a millionaire? In Yeltsin's Russia?
No wonder, no wonder Konstantin Kissin is an avid supporter of the free market these days.
Shock therapy era Russia, yes. At 40, he was living in exile under a cloud of false allegations with no money. One of the funniest, erudite, and intractable people I've ever met. And also, he did block me for pointing the facts of his father out. Here's the original report from Radio Free Europe. More, and this is, again... 1997. Official names of celebrity tax... officials name celebrity tax dodgers. And again, Mr. Kissin, a year later here, is still somebody who's considered on the run and not having paid $400,000 worth of income tax. But it's... There's an incongruity here, because remember, it mentions that he attended a boarding school.
Not just any boarding school.
No, a rather... a prestigious boarding school. This is from the New Statesman. Can't really be trusted in many ways, but Konstantin Kissin, being anti-woke isn't making you happy. The podcaster is the viral man of the moment, January 2023. But does he really have anything to say? Again, this is the New Statesman shilling, effectively, Konstantin Kissin. Oh, the viral man of the moment, is he? Bigging him up, are they?
Plastered over Remainer Central. should we just go for the interview? But here we'll get a bit of a tone of.
No. Well, we can do it if you want.
Just go up one more.
Yeah.
When I arrived at his podcast studio just outside London, Kissin, his podcasting partner. What, in the way that we are?
yes, Francis Foster, the furniture. Yes. Or as we just refer to him as, the guy.
Yes. And two young guys were finishing a late lunch. They all appeared to be eating the same thing. Steak. Yeah, I'm sure they were. Dressed down in a mint-coloured hoodie, paperclip thin and pint-sized, he looked tired as he welcomed me. He has large, wet, round eyes. A fish crossed with a songbird. Foster cleared away the steaks. I told Kissin how striking I thought his speech was. Did you? Kissin immediately suspected that my compliment was not genuine. I immediately felt it was going to be a long afternoon. I told him what was good about it. The speech was not banal, not weighed down by predictable culture war talking points. Kissin agreed. People are starting to realise that you can't just bang on about what's wrong. You have to have a positive vision for the future. I spent the next hour or so trying to work out what Kissin's vision actually is. What do we know about Konstantin Kissin? He was born in Moscow in the former Soviet Union 40 years ago. He was sent to the boarding school Clifton College in Bristol in 1995 without being able to speak English. He is described being picked on there and left Edinburgh University without finishing his degree. Kissin refers to himself as a first-generation migrant. In the early 90s, with Russia in chaotic flux, his family was briefly wealthy. His father served as a junior minister in one of Boris Yeltsin's cabinets before being hounded out of the country on tax evasion charges.
Kissin said his father was later cleared of all wrongdoing, which is not... Well, we don't know. It kind of went away, which is very odd. He fled to the West. He had $300,000 in Western bank accounts. That's known. He's putting his son... as we see here, and there's quite a good comment about this, actually, on when I made the original point. I like a lot of what I hear from Konstantin Kissin, even when I disagree with him. But the idea his father fled Russia with no money when Konstantin was 11, but had enough to send him to Clifton College at age 13, seems implausible.
I mean, what's the presumption here, of course, Emily? You get the fees let's for Clifton
look,
College,
let's have a look
course.
At Clifton College, shall we? Oh, the poor, penniless dissident hounded out of Russia, paying so his son can attend a £15,000 a term boarding school.
But it begs the question as well, though. We happen to know an individual, and he's a very good man.
Yes.
Who may or may have not made some business mistakes in Russia.
Yes.
And because of that, his life there, as far as he considers it, is over.
Yes.
There are untold assets over there, still in his name, still unused, which can be claimed. But he can never go back to get them, because he knows the moment he arrives in, Moscow or St. Petersburg airport, he will be arrested.
Yes.
Now, how is it like someone like the Kissin family have managed to reinvent themselves as stalwarts of Western culture and all these different aspects of the world and the values, and they're defending Britain, and they're defending Israel, and they're defending Ukraine, and blah, 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 and be these members of prominence, without any of them ever getting called back to Russia to maybe answer for their crimes?
It's very odd as well. Like I said, it seems that the positive vision that Konstantin Kissin has is that he was sent to an expensive boarding school on the dime of the Russian people. The thing is, if you look at this, and I can only look at this in one way, in that he and his father, in the Yeltsin years, as many of the officials did, took food out of the mouths of the Russian people. During one of the biggest drops in living standards in recent times, he was sending his son to a £15,000 a term boarding school.
I would actually go one further. I would suggest that people like Vadim Kissin were eating out of the hands of the Russian people, not because they wanted to, but probably under some kind of orders.
It's very odd that he is just allowed to slip himself into not only British society, but his son becomes the face of anti-wokeness. He becomes a political figure.
I mean,
it's almost like these people are always pre-compromised.
Yes. Well, you think of the amount of squabbling that goes on about Russian influence and Russian money in British politics, but this never comes up.
It's
almost like some sort of handshake deal has been made. You went and helped collapse the Yeltsin government and fully put Russia in our hands, so we're going to turn your son into a high-flying political celebrity of some form or another.
Yes. Basically, yes. Again, he's somebody who is not from a normal background. The way he talks about himself is a lie. And that's really what we're trying to communicate here. But, okay, he's a grifter. He's somebody whose dad embezzled a huge amount of money from Russia and used it to give him a fancy life. He's not a particularly nice person. But what does he have to say? What is our problem with his messaging? And most of his messaging, to be honest with you, is banal. Mm. He is a boilerplate, anti-woke talking head. He is somebody who says nothing most of the time because he believes in nothing, like all these people do.
Well, I think maybe we can mention after this clip, because there's a related thing to it that I would want to say.
Yes.
But trigonometry represents where the cutting edge of the elites wants public opinion to be.
Yes.
it doesn't matter, you know, woke only existed as a media phenomenon and the large part of it. And we have all sort of become agreed upon this.
Yes.
And what we are saying and what we have been saying for a while is anti-woke is exactly the same.
Yes.
You're looking at another, you know, I can't even think of woke quote unquote media people, but you're looking at the exact same thing brought about by the exact same methods for the hopes of creating the exact same results.
Yes.
Moving public opinion, shifting the Overton window so that people feel it's acceptable to say what that guy on that podcast that was talking to Matt Goodwin said.
Yes. Well, here's Constantin Kissin and the furniture talking to somebody who was the victim of a Muslim rape gang.
Mm.
That is the context here. The context here is that this was somebody who was raped because they were white. And that is a matter of basically public record. There was a whitewash inquiry attempt, but really, large parts of the British state even acknowledged that these people were raped because they are white. Anyway.
You to the Black Lives Matter thing as well. And this is the reason that we've opposed identity politics from the start, because once you start going down this rabbit hole of going, this is a special group, and this is a special group, and that's a special group, and that's a but these people, they're not special at all. In fact, they need, then you get into trouble, because eventually, you know, Helen Dale, who we had on the show, you know, she said, I remember saying this in the 90s, you know, if you're going to have gay pride, at some point, someone's going to go, we need straight pride.
Straight pride, yeah.
And this is the problem with all of this. Yeah. And this is the far left that you talk about. That's where it all comes from, this this ideology of getting everybody into their own little group. And now white people need to advocate for themselves. That's not, you know, you talk about history, not a healthy recipe.
No.
Not a healthy recipe.
Not a healthy recipe.
We need to go back to this idea that people are individuals, you know, and you can be racist against anyone, including white people. You to the Black Lives Matter.
But yes, that
what a disgusting anti-Semite. I'll have you know the Jews are a very special people, Mr. Kissin.
Well, Mr. Kissin was also awarded, I believe, Jewish Comedian of the Year
at one point. Yes.
Which flies in the face of this idea that we shouldn't have these categories for each other. But that is one of the most slimy manoeuvres I've ever seen anyone do on camera. That is him turning around and go, but don't you say that this happened to you because you were white.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the example to hand here, but I, at one point a couple of weeks ago, had a very, very brief spat. I say spat, I was blocked by someone who's this sort of female commentatory woman that appears on GB News and some other places, but for one sense or another, she is brown. She is browner than brown and is not British. And I always like to point this out. And I have no problems with that. But if you want to sit there and go, being Britain's about having the right values when you don't even have white skin, it's like, well, you know, I'm going to think that's suspicious.
It's very odd, isn't it?
And we can see the angle here. You know, take someone who's a victim of some very intense, ethnically charged crime,
yes,
and walk them back.
Yes.
Now, this woman in question I was having a slight sort of tiff with had also been a victim, quite possibly, of a heavily ethnically charged crime. And there she was in an interview with the trigonometry people going, well, this wouldn't happen in Britain. What happened to me wouldn't happen to every other woman as long as we were tolerant and we respected individuals, knowing farewell, or maybe in this woman's case, not knowing farewell, that that's the reason why she was taken advantage of by some grooming gang.
Yes.
How awful is it that you've got arms of the British security state manipulating little political influencers and podcast people with troubled pasts, awfully troubled pasts, and making them recite and praise the values that saw them become people who got raped.
Yes, it is. It is basically telling them, well, it's part and parcel of living in a big city stuff.
Of course, to the
part and parcel of
the backing in soundtrack of one Mr. Constantin Kissin doing that.
Well, here's a clip, and you'll be astounded by this, because there's no challenging. This is quite a famous clip when they had Bill Maher on. And it's another one of these people are supposed to be political dissidents. These people are supposed to be anti-leftist, they're supposed to be particularly anti-kind of Islamist, and nominally in some ways anti-immigration, or at least they advertise themselves as such. But let's you know what? Let's just watch this, shall we? I hope this isn't too loud, but...
I mean, England became America.
Yeah.
Caught your culture. I mean, I remember being in England first time in the 80s, and it was very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
How so?
Well, first of all, London was like all white.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was.
You know, so can we just celebrate that victory that we made a place more diverse and not... You know, like, you never get a pat on the back.
No.
The people who like achieve, I feel like, in that area. There's only like, there's more to do. Of course, there's more to do. But can we just get a little, hey, I think I read in Andrew Sullivan's column, like, London went from like 36%. To like 86% people of color or something like that. No, maybe that's too high, but something
majority
like a 50 yeah. like a 50 yeah. point yeah. swing. Completely 50 points yeah. in two generations, three generations. Mm. Okay, that's progress. I'm not a bad person to like clap for progress.
But that is an issue. That is a real issue, Bill. When
let them keep going.
Because people never want to admit how when things are going well. And if you only start going, oh, everything's terrible, then you start convincing everybody else that everything's terrible when it's not.
I mean, you say people. I feel like this is something that divides the two parties.
Anyway, that's progress.
I love the nation of Israel. I love the nation of Israel. That's all I have to say. I have no words other than that.
Konstantin Kissin and Bill Mayer, who is this we you speak of?
Yeah, who are these people?
Who are these people? Who is this we?
What is this progress?
What is this progress? And why? Oh, yes, we have to acknowledge that this is... And there's no pushback. They just move on.
Yeah.
He agrees with him. He nods along. Welcome to your dissidents. These are... It's like this is your life. These
are the your dissidents.
Whee! We've got one more here, actually. We've got one more.
I already know this one, so I'll let that play with
And that's why we've got Mr. Glenn Beck, CEO of the... Well, main commentator, and also CEO of The Blaze, and CEO of the company that owns The Blaze. And this is taking place on Blaze TV. Huh. I don't know. If I had to have that logo next to me, I'd be very embarrassed, but that's a different story. Let's keep going.
And I'm so used now to be called a Nazi because I don't know how I've won the Defender of Israel award. I don't know how I'm anti-Semite.
He literally did win the. That's not like a saw. He did win the Defender of Israel award. By the way,
you wouldn't joke about that.
Somehow or other, I'm an anti-Semitic Nazi, and then I hear people on the streets quoting Hitler. I wonder, is anyone going to wake up from this? Are there...
No. These people who spent 7 years at least calling everybody a Nazi, they don't recognize Nazis when they see them.
It's the real Nazis this time, guys.
But these are subjects we can't joke about. And the way that I will not joke Nazis. About how much I love the nation of Israel. Come on, chat. Show us your love.
Can we get some love for Israel?
I will say quickly, if you just scroll down, look at the description here. Yeah. Co-host Konstantin Kissin grew up in the Soviet Union, so he knows what tyranny looks like. Yes, I'm sure as the rich kid of possibly a sabotaging member of the Yeltsin government who was embezzling possibly millions of dollars, he damn well knows what tyranny looks like.
Yeah, he knows
from the other side.
From the other side, yes. It's called, the video is just called Why We Don't Recognize Real Nazis. The thing is, this is what we've always said.
Yes.
The neocons, when the real right wing comes around, are all going to turn around and call us the real Nazis. It's so funny seeing what is supposed to be a nominally right wing political dissident talking about...
I'm mostly indifferent towards Israel, says rambling imbecile in chat. I won't stand for this anti-Semitism, you know.
That's a joke, by the way. I've only put you in a 10-second timeout.